And now an Old Testament reading from Numbers chapter 11. Beginning in verse 24, it reads, "So Moses went out, told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 elders of the people and placed them all around the tent of meeting. And then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. Two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent. And so they prophesied in the camp. And Joshua, son of Nun, the assistant of Moses, one of his chosen men, said, 'My lord Moses, stop them.' But Moses said to him, 'Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them.' And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp." The word of God for the people of God, and thanks be to God. There is a place on the east end of Atlanta, I was just talking about this on Friday actually, called the DeKalb Farmers Market. And it sounds quaint, but if you've ever been there, it is not quaint. It is amazing. It is huge. It's this big old warehouse, and inside are all kinds of fruit and vegetables, and it's not locally, it's from all over the world. There's like six different varietals of bok choy that you can choose from. And then there's apples. There was apples there I'd never even heard of. I didn't even know they made that kind of apple. And they have a butcher counter, they have sweets, they have a bakery, and it is the place to go to get spices of any kind. There are more spices than you know what to do with, and it is a wonderful place. Now, I went onto their website just to sort of remind myself this week, and on their website, they boasted that their employees, and if you go and check out there, and if you ask someone for help, you will find this out quickly, they come from 40 different countries all over the world, and they speak over 50 languages and dialects. But they all work there, and you can definitely find what you are looking for, because food is sort of one of those things that unites all. We all eat, and we all, you know, like to eat something that tastes good, and so we're all sort of united in that front. And so they come from all over the world, and they speak all these different languages, but when you're there, you're part of one community, and you can find groceries, and you can learn recipes, and you'll find people talking over the chocolate about what they like to do with it, and you'll find people giving secrets and tips, and the person who's helping you check out will share a recipe with you. It's a unique place. It's one of my favorite places in all of Atlanta. And it's funny that in the midst of all of those different kinds of cultures and languages coming together, what you find is that food provides an understanding. And for me, that is the miracle of Pentecost. I know that people are speaking in all these different languages, and it looks like, you know, the Spirit gave them ability to do that, and it did. But to me, the greater miracle is not that they were speaking many languages, but that they understood one another. That's the real miracle, is that in the midst of all this diversity, there was understanding. That's the real miracle. And for me, that's what we lack in our world today. We lack understanding. We lack connection. We live in an era of unprecedented preference and a customization. Everything can be customized to just how we want it. Take the news, for example. It used to be, because we were limited in the way that we could communicate, that anyone who brought you the news was sort of trusted and vetted in doing so. So there was there were newspapers, and they only hired people who were well-educated, who had done research, who knew the topic and took time to investigate it, to communicate it to the rest of the world. That paper went out one time in the morning, and that was it. And sometimes they would print another copy in the evening if something especially newsworthy happened. And then there was, 30 or maybe even 60 minutes of news broadcast in the evening. If it made the newscast, it was important. It was necessary for the dialogue. What do we have now? We have not one 24-hour station. We have a myriad of 24-hour news networks. Everything is now newsworthy because they've got 24 hours in a day to fill. They need, everything is worth our time. Everything, we need to know about everything. And not only that, but we base it upon the clientele because people can choose which news network they want. And so we all know this. If you happen to be of a more conservative bent politically, then you'll watch Fox News or you'll listen to Rush Limbaugh. And likewise, if you're a liberal, if you end up towards the left end of the spectrum, you can watch MSNBC or you can go on to Huffington Post online and get all your news from there. From your perspective, the one that you already came in with, everything packaged nicely for you. And what we've come to find out is really what this leads to is we're all living in two different Americas, two different worlds, and never the twain meet. We hear everything from our own perspective, and the other side is vilified. We might say, well, they're just a bunch of idiots on that side of the aisle. Or if we're Southern, we would say, bless their heart, they don't know any better. But otherwise, we don't have anything to do with them. Obviously, they're backwards because they disagree with me, and my news tells me so. You couldn't see it from any other perspective except the way that it's being presented here. And we'd like to say, well, this is a new phenomenon. We never faced this before. And I guess that's sort of true with broadcast. But how do you think the Roman officials covered the news about Jesus of Nazareth? Do you think they reported fairly and called him a Messiah? Or do you think they called him a radical religious nut who is causing trouble in the Middle East? Do you think they referred to him and his followers as protesters or as thugs? I know how Jesus would refer him to himself. Matter of fact, he did many times. He called himself a prophet. A prophet. And that's what we're dealing with in Numbers 11 here, are prophets. There are 70 elders that Moses gathers together around the tent of meeting, which is where you go to worship and offer sacrifice to God. And he gathers these 70 together, and he prays, and the Holy Spirit comes upon them and gives them ability, and they begin to speak, and they begin to prophesy, and then they stop. And just a note of clarification here, we're not talking about predictions like Harry Potter prophecies or Nostradamus or anything like that. Prophecy, in the Old Testament term, refers to speaking the truth about what God really wants from people. Some of that tends to lean into the future. If you don't shape up, then something bad is going to happen. So there's a prediction there, but it's about today. I'm worried about what you're doing now, and if you don't cut it out, there's going to be serious trouble. It's speaking the truth. It's warning, but it's mostly about today. So if you go through the rest of the Old Testament scriptures, you can come to a prophet like Amos. And he told the truth to Israel. He said, look, you're starting to act like slave owners against your own people. You're acting like Egypt, the very place that God took you from. So God is declaring war on you as of today, just like he did in Egypt. That's pretty strong stuff. You come to another prophet by the name of Hosea. He says, look, God's beginning to feel like with your worship of all these other gods, he's beginning to feel like he's married to a lady of the night. Someone who's sneaking out and being unfaithful to him. That's pretty strong stuff too. You come to a prophet like Ezekiel. Ezekiel says, you can stop with the worship. You might as well stop because God's not impressed. Matter of fact, it's like baking your bread over a cow pie. He's not having it. It's not appealing to him right now. So you might as well just quit because he ain't having any of it. It's the truth. Prophets are very seldom polite or speak the way that we would have them speak, especially in church. But they tell the truth, the absolute truth. And what really bugs me about our world today is it seems like we don't tell the truth anymore. We tell a version of the truth. Politicians can give their version of the facts of what happened, but we know that they're just turning it in their own favor. They're pivoting, as they like to say. We know that news networks now spin the events rather than just tell us what happened. And I suppose those are easy targets, and we say, well, yeah, they should be telling the truth and all that sort of thing. But are we any better? Many of us in here have online personas. And what we post online, is that the truth? We post pictures that make us look good, or pictures that were from the past when we were maybe a bit thinner or had a little less gray in our hair. And maybe we post stories about our children, but we only post the sweet ones or the ones that make them look cute. We never post the other kind. We post our workouts and what we did and the healthy meals that we eat, but are those the truth? Not the whole truth, at least. No one, I have yet to see anyone post a picture of themselves crying over the dinner table with credit card statements in front of them. That's the truth. That's more of the truth. I have never seen someone post a video of a real argument with their spouse. You just don't do that, do you? No one posts the story about eating an entire bag of Doritos while watching House Hunters International. You don't post that. You post the chicken breast and the broccoli, but not the other one. And maybe you're thinking, I don't use Facebook, that's not my thing. Fine. But all of us do this to some point, don't we? We have a certain mask that we wear. We don't tell everyone the real stories about what happened at the dinner party. You don't say, sorry, I was late, I was plucking my ear hair, and it took longer than expected. You don't say things like that. I wish the preacher wouldn't say things like that either. Where are the truth tellers anymore? Where are the people who just tell the truth? Where are the prophets? Because I don't want spin, I want the truth. We all want that, I think. I've never talked to anybody who didn't want the newscasters to just report on the news. I hear that from everybody. It doesn't matter what your political bend is. And it doesn't matter which news network you want. They all say, yeah, I wish people would stop arguing with each other on television and just tell us what happened. Let us make conclusions. No one likes the spin. No one buys the facades that people put on and assume that everything that is given to them is what the way things really are. We want prophets. And I guess we're waiting for them to show up. That's what happened in Numbers, chapter 11. Moses is tired. He's the only guy who's telling the truth. He's the only prophet out there. And so he brings these 70 people together and he prays, and now they're prophets and they're telling the truth too. Good. The plan worked. Now there's a leadership team appointed. There are those people whose job it is to tell the truth. And we have those in our society too. The phrase that I keep hearing bandied about in all these different areas is speaking truth to power. And I like that phrase, but there are a lot of people who claim that. The press, for instance, it's their job to speak truth to power. I have previously shared with you my love for stand-up comedians, and they have a job too, and theirs is speaking truth to power. And the truth they usually speak is, you're ridiculous, like the rest of us, so come off your high horse. That's the truth that they speak. Artists speak truth to power. The academy or the universities are supposed to speak truth to power. Science tells the truth. The law is supposed to tell the truth. And of course, you and I sitting here would all agree that the church ought to tell the truth and speak truth to power. So it's preachers' jobs. Tell the truth. Be a prophet. Don't refrain from stepping on people's toes every now and again. But we need to come to grips with things. It's not just the preacher's job to tell the truth. Yes, it is my job to tell people that people are broken, that the world is short of what it should be, and that we are in need of forgiveness and redemption. That is the job of preachers and poets and artists and reporters. But Tim and I are not the only prophets in this room today. Clergy, yes, it is our job, but there were 70 who were appointed, and the Spirit came upon them, and they spoke the truth. And then there was two more on top of that. You can't stop the Spirit from moving. Moses asked for these 70 to be appointed, and then there were still more. You can't hem the Spirit in. You can't give the Spirit boundaries. That's like trying to keep the oceans tide from going back out with a bucket. It's a fool's errand, and you can't do it. There were two more back at the camp. Their names were Eldad and Medad. They were not part of the 70 who were assembled there. They were authorized. I'm not really sure what that means, and the scholars aren't either. But they weren't special. They weren't at the tent. They weren't at the special tent. They were back at the camp with the regular folk. And they began to speak too because the Spirit of God compelled them to. And it upset some folks, especially in leadership. They said, that's not your job. Moses, we ought to shut them down. And what was Moses' response? Are you kidding me? I wish God's Spirit was on every single one of them. I wish all of them were prophets. Every single one of them. The Spirit breaks through those boundaries. And God begins speaking all over the Israelite camp. And Moses' response is, it's not enough. We need more. I wish it was bigger. I wish it was bigger than what it was here. 1,500 years later, Moses' wish is granted at Pentecost. And in Acts 2, the Spirit of God comes down, and the scriptures tell us that it came down on all of them. Every single one of them. All of them. Slave, free, male, female, old, young. It didn't matter. God's Spirit came down and came upon all of them, and they all started speaking the truth. All of them were filled with the Spirit. And they're speaking in different languages. Each one heard them in their own language, a prophet for each type of person to hear the good news, truth, without any barrier. Doesn't matter if it's your job or not. When the Spirit comes upon you, now your job's a prophet. Whatever you do during the daytime, that's your business. But when God's Spirit speaks, now you're a prophet. So maybe you're wondering, like they did long ago, what does it mean? What does it mean that Eldad and Medad were prophets? What does it mean that God's Spirit came down on all of them? What does it mean for us today? Two things I think it means. The first is, I'm not so special. I'm not all that special. Prophets speak the truth. It's Pentecost today. It's 2,000 years ago almost. But the Spirit is no less active today. Eldad and Medad, they're just normal guys. They were back at the camp with the regular people. Ministers, like me and Tim, we spend a lot of our hours and our focus on church. That's our job. We focus on church, and so we follow church time, and we keep up with church affairs, and church. We talk to church people mostly, and we're concerned with church budgets and programs and issues that have to do with the church. But what God really needs is people to speak the truth in schools and in the labs and in the bases and in restaurants and in stores and in their neighborhoods. God needs someone to speak the truth where you already are, and His Spirit is coming upon you. That's the truth. Eldad and Medad, the Spirit was breaking through. It wasn't this confined thing on Sunday morning. It was escaping and getting out into the rest of the community. The second thing it means is this, that we are called to speak the truth wherever we are, and we are all called to speak that truth, but we are called to speak it in love. You might have noticed that Eldad and Medad have a very similar sound to them. It's that ending, that Dad ending. In Hebrew, that means love. You can see it in the Song of Songs. Dodi li va'ani lo. And that whole thing. I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. Dad, Eldad, God loves. Medad, one who loves. What do you think they were speaking back in the camp? What truth do you think they were speaking? The truth is, God loves you. That's the truth. That's what we are called to speak. God loves you, and God loves you so much, dangerously sometimes, that He sent His own Son to die so that you could be free. That's how much God loves you. God loves you so much that death couldn't hold Him back, that He had to keep going. God loves you so much that He sends His own very breath, His Spirit, to be within you. That's how much God loves you. And right now, the Spirit of God is telling me to tell you how much God loves you. Doesn't matter who you are or what you are, or where you come from, God loves you. So you're a painter? God loves you. You're a physicist? God loves you. You're married, you're single, you're divorced, you're widowed.
God loves you so much. You watch Fox News or MSNBC, God loves you. You're African, you're European, you're Asian, you're Latino, or you're just plain human, God loves you. You're gay, you're straight, you're confused, God loves you. That is the truth, the unadulterated truth. Don't put a but at the end of it. God loves you, period, full stop. And you may need to tell people in different ways, prophets. You may need to tell a kid that they're loved by playing Uno with them every week for 30 minutes. You may need to tell a neighbor that you love them, that God loves them, by inviting them over for dinner and having a night with them. Maybe you need to tell the needy that they are loved by packing a bag at Agape and handing it out on Thursday afternoon. Maybe you can tell the youth that you love them by spending a week at camp with them. Maybe you can stand with those who are scared or hurt or anxious. Maybe you can listen, just listen. Or you can walk with them, or you can hug them. Speak a language that they can understand. But whatever you do, tell them the truth, that God loves them. I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets. I wish that God's Spirit would be all over you and that you would have to tell the truth, that God loves us all.